Father, we just thank you for who you are. Thank you for being the great God that can be seen. And Father, as Pastor Craig prayed about the switch of administration in our nation tomorrow, Father, you pray for that, and we pray that you'd be more clearly seen in the next 4 years. Have your way with this nation, with this world. Father, just do pray that you just bring back the Bible into just everyday conversation, back into the school, just so that we can see who you are, Father, and seek after you. Father, just be with Pastor Craig now as he brings your word to us. We pray that it's edifying and encouraging. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
If you will turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, continuing our series through this epistle. First Peter chapter 4, and beginning in verse 7, says there, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Father, we do ask your blessing upon our time in your word here this morning. I pray, Lord, that we would take what we read here and certainly apply it to our lives through activity. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, our passage today begins with a statement, and it says this, "But the end of all things is at hand." And it's another reference to time here in chapter 4. But in this case, in fact, we started talking about this last week in the first six verses talking about time. But in this case, it's a reference to time running out and our responsibility to use it wisely and purposefully, every moment of it. Back in the early days of our Bible camp up at Cedar Mountain, Utah, we did not have a cistern on the property, and all of the water for camp came from a spring about a mile away. Someone would have to drive a truck down to the spring, pump water from the spring into a tank in the back of the truck, then drive the truck back to camp, pump the water into a larger tank that then was gravity fed to the bathrooms, and they would have to do this numerous times. They would have to do this numerous times to fill the tank, and then numerous days through the week, and it was a lot of work. A lot of work to supply water for the camp. Water was precious at camp. And so when a camper left the water running while he brushed his teeth, or if someone double flushed a toilet, or if someone took more than a 3-minute shower, or if someone took more than 2 showers in a week, or if a camper got a drink of water, took a sip, and then dumped the rest, it was a big deal. It was a big deal. Those who fetched the water took great offense to the waste of it. Campers got in trouble for wasting water. Water was to be used wisely. and only for specific purposes because it was an unlimited supply. Every drop of it. And such is the time that we have here on earth. It was, for us as believers, it was purchased with the blood of Christ. Every drop of it. And our time right now is limited. It's limited personally in that we don't know when our last day is. And it's even limited prophetically in that we don't know when Christ is going to return. And either of them could happen tomorrow, today. And therefore, Peter's point here in chapter 4 is to treat time as precious as it is. Every single moment of it. Back in verse 18 of chapter 3, Peter told us, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." And here in the first half of chapter 4 now, because of what Christ has done for us, Peter gives us six ways to get ready to go, six ways to live our life for him, six ways to redeem the time, every moment of it. Redeeming the time is our subject, part two this morning. We looked at part one last week. And redeeming the time, it's us investing whatever time we have left to honor God with our lives because of what he has done for us. And because the end of all things is at hand. The end of all things is at hand. Jesus will return to bring believers to God and to judge the world of unbelievers. And so Peter, it gives us these six ways to redeem the time, to make the most of it, to invest our time wisely and purposefully. In contrast to, well, how we used to live. We looked at the first two ways last week. Because of what Christ has done for us, we should be done with sin. That was the first point that we looked at last week. We should be done with sin. Christ paid for our sin, and therefore Christians must live for him. Not in worldliness. Not in lewdness or lust or drunkenness or revelries or idolatries, okay? Be done with sin. We've wasted enough time already on it, and life is too short to continue in it. Be done with sin. The second one we looked at is be patient with sinners. God was patient with us. He is yet being patient with the world. And we, you and I, as believers, must be patient with the sinners around us. They will think that we are strange for investing our time the way we do. They will even speak evil of us as we do it. But they need to hear the gospel. They need to hear about what Jesus has done for them in paying for their sins, just like we heard it. And now today, beginning in verse 7, Peter gives us four more ways to redeem the time. Four more ways to redeem the time and reminds us really that we must. So way number three to redeem the time is to be right in supplication. Be right in supplication. Supplication, of course, is prayer. In fact, look at verse 7 again. Chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers." The end in this verse refers to Christ's return for us as believers and to judge unbelievers. It will be the end of the world as we know it Revelation gives us great detail about that, the book of Revelation. And at hand, the phrase at hand refers to the fact that it's imminent. It could happen at any time. It's nearer today than it was yesterday. And only the Father knows when it will happen. And Peter says, therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Now, this next illustration is unfitting in numerous ways, but fitting in one. So bear with me here. Imagine you found a genie in the bottle on the beach. And he told you, as tradition holds, I'm giving you 3 wishes. How carefully would you consider your wishes? Now, I bring this up because there are probably few of us who have never entertained a thought like this, all right? But our requests, and you've probably given it a lot of thought, our requests would be very well thought out. We would be very careful what we asked for, right? Now, this illustration is unfitting in that there is no number limit to the requests that we can make of God. It is unfitting in that God is not a genie who is there to do our beck and will. And it is unfitting in that genies aren't real. Okay, you all know that, right? All right. But it's fitting. It's fitting in that our prayers, that the things that we do request of God must be thought out, well thought out. They must ultimately be spiritually right. And we must be alert to that. Listen to a couple other passages here from James 4:3. James says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. John 14:13, Jesus said, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And then in John 14:14, Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And really what this tells us is that this is us asking for what Jesus would ask for. That's what we must ask for, and only what Jesus would ask for, because the end of all things is at hand. We need to think through these things. So Peter says, be serious in your prayers. This is us being spiritually minded, godly minded, eternally minded rather than earthly minded. I think the King James Version puts it, to be in our right mind. Everything we ask in prayer to God should be free of undue emotion, errant views of ourselves, errant views of God, nor requests tainted by worldly desires. This is us considering our prayers seriously, wanting what God wants for us, because He only and always wants the best for us. So Peter says, be serious in your prayers. He also says, be watchful in your prayers. Directly connected to being spiritually minded is us watching for things to pray for, pray about, and pray in. If we have ever said, I should have prayed for that, we weren't being watchful. We were being unwatchful. There have been many times when I've struggled through a situation and then finally thought, well, I haven't even prayed about this yet. Being watchful in our prayers is being alert to the fact that we must pray and pray for what God wants for us. Prayer is a great use of our time because the end of all things is at hand. The fourth way to redeem the time is to be loving toward the saints. Be loving toward the saints. While the word saint is not used in our passage, a saint in the Bible is anyone and everyone who has trusted in Christ for salvation. That's a saint. If you have placed your faith in Christ to save you from your sins, according to God's word, you are a saint. And while the word saint, again, is not used in this particular passage, saints are the one another that Peter is talking about here. Peter is addressing one another, you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ. Look at verses 8 and 9. He says, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling." Now, these are two separate statements, but I'm putting them both under this being loving toward the saints heading. He begins by saying, above all things, love is above all things. It must be the motive of all things that we say and do. And this love being spoken of here is divine love, unconditional love. A love given to one another with no strings attached. It is simply for the profit of one another, of others. In fact, it's no coincidence that Peter then says, be hospitable. And then in the next verses, when we get to the next point, he's going to talk about exercising our spiritual gifts toward one another. The words that we speak to one another and our service to one another as we serve the Lord. In all of these things, love must be the motive. In fact, Paul, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3, he put it this way. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Now, Janine can attest to this, but as construction has been happening on our addition here, there have been a few aspects of it that have been a bit frustrating for me as I've seen the lack of quality workmanship. Again, that just went into some aspects of the building. It was all hired help, and in some areas, it was obvious that the workers just really didn't care. I think in some places, nail guns were used like machine guns. There's more nails than wood. I don't know, maybe that's a good thing. But anyway, in contrast, when we did this first build, we had a team come from a church in southern Utah to help with all of the interior framing in this building. And the quality of work on that was superb. It was like a work of art. And that's on the inside of these walls. Nobody's ever going to see it. But it was quality. It was quality. And the difference was love. The people from a church up in St. George, they came and they did what they did in love. And now here I am telling you about the blessing that they were to us, the profit of it. Well, because the end of all things is at hand, because of what Christ has done for us, Peter says, love one another fervently. Fervently means to strain to love. Our effort must go into loving one another, because when we do, the byproducts will be quality in all that we do. Benefits for others, blessings even for us. One of those benefits, Peter mentions, sins are forgiven. And it will be our love for the saints that will enable us to forgive them when they wrong us. It will benefit them. It will bless us. Love one another, Peter says, love one another fervently. Strain to do it. And then he says, love one another hospitably. Hospitality is actually being a lover of guests. It's us making guests feel welcome because we really do love them. It's making them feel as though they are in their home, even in our home. I love that Peter adds, without grumbling, grudging or complaint, your translation might say. And it was like he was reading my mind. Yeah, I can be hospitable without grumbling. Fine. Right? I got to tell you, and I'm just being honest here, okay? There have been times when I did not want to be hospitable. And I did grumble about it. I don't want to go to Bible study tonight. I don't want to go to another potluck. I don't want to have people over to the house. And I've grumbled. However, I also have to tell you honestly that there have been times when I have went anyway or had people over anyway and was lovingly hospitable anyway, there has never been a time that I regretted it afterwards. In fact, every single time after the fact, I was glad I did it. It was a blessing to me and the saints. It was encouraging really to all present. It was a bright spot in a dark world. And that is why Peter says, don't grumble. You need this as much as they do. Be loving to the saints. Be loving to the saints. It's a great way to invest our time. Here's the fifth way to invest our time. Be active in service. Be active in service. Look at verse 10 now. It says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Imagine that I sent each and every one of you a present in the mail. Okay? And as you receive this package and you unwrap the present, you found that it was a piece to a jigsaw puzzle. Just one piece. And the whole point of me sending all of these gifts to all of you is so that the very next Sunday you could bring your piece to church and put it in its place, building this puzzle. And when it was complete, When it was complete, it would be a beautiful and ornate text of Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, which happens to be River Valley's theme verse, okay? And it says, "Speak the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." And we put together this beautiful puzzle that spelled that, everybody contributing their part. But now imagine some of us didn't show up, or we left our part at home. We didn't bring our gift. We didn't do our part. And now we have an incomplete passage of Scripture that is not profitable to anyone who tries to read it. Now it says, "Speak the in love that we may grow up in from whom whole knit by every joint according to the effective working by which every does of the body for itself." Some of us were bad stewards. We were given a gift. We had one responsibility, and now everyone is suffering because we didn't participate. There are missing pieces of our puzzle because of us. So Peter says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Because the end of all things is at hand. Because of what Christ has done for us. Because the end of all things is at hand, minister to one another. This is us. This is us serving our part in the body of Christ. Whatever that part is. Serving our part in the church. Not just here, but to one another wherever we are. You received a gift. If you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, you have received a gift, a spiritual gift. Elsewhere in Scripture, that's what they're called. A spiritual gift is a divine enablement to excel at a spiritual activity. These are different from talents in that everyone can have a talent, but only believers. Only believers have spiritual gifts. Every believer has at least one of these gifts, and believers are given these gifts so that we can minister to one another. I have a handout out back on the table if you're interested that just goes through those gifts. It's something I put together quite some time ago, but if you're interested in learning more, a little bit more about spiritual gifts, there's a handout out there on the table. But every believer has received at least one of these gifts, and therefore, Peter says, use it. Use your gift. Minister it to one another. That is why God gave them. And he tells us to do it as good stewards. A steward is one who's been given the duty to dispense. A duty to dispense. Dispense what? The manifold grace of God. Our spiritual gift has been given to us and is designed so that each and every one of us can have a part in dispensing the grace of God for the growth of the church, spiritually and numerically. Manifold means manyfold. There are many ways to dispense God's grace to one another. Just like our puzzle. Speak the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We must be active in service. It is a vital way to invest our time. Back in Luke 12:43, Jesus said, "Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes." The end of all things is at hand. Here's the sixth and final way to redeem the time. Be obvious of submission. Be obvious of submission, specifically of our submission to God. Look at verse 11 now. He says, "If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Imagine I made a random phone call. I just dialed the number and waited for somebody to answer. And as the person on the other end answered, they said, "Greetings from the happiest place on earth. How can I help you?" Who have I reached?
Disneyland,
that's right, okay? Just by the way they said what they said and how they said it, I could know whom they serve, right? Imagine you called me and you told me that you had just now ordered a gift for me that will be shipped to my house, and the very next day it showed up on my doorstep. Whom did you order from? Probably Amazon, right? It's like sometimes I think they're reading my mind. But anyway, just by the speed of which it was delivered, I could tell that you ordered from Amazon. Well, the things that we say, the things that we do should obviously to anyone we're talking to, anyone we're around, obviously be of God. I have met strangers before, and within five minutes of the encounter, I'm convinced they know the Lord. They serve God. And I could tell just by the words that they used and the way that they acted, the way they held themselves, their attitude. That is a good investment of time. Our speech should be in submission to God's speech. My translation uses the word oracles, but that's just a fancy word that means we're speaking the words of God. "Lord willing, I'll see you tomorrow. I'll pray for you in that. I've been blessed. Praise the Lord. Thank God for that. Let me pray about that. You know, God works all things together for good to those that love him and are called to his purpose." If you heard someone say any of those things, it could be very obvious whom they serve. Our speech should be in submission to God's speech, and our service should be in submission to God's strength. That person is always willing to help others, it seems. That person has such a joy about them. That person is such a pleasure to be around. That person is so compassionate. That person is wise beyond his years. That person is so honest. That person is such a diligent worker. That person does such a good job. Our service, whatever it is, should be in submission to God's strength. And perhaps it will be so obvious that these are some things that would be said about us. And we do this. We do this so that all will know that God deserves the glory through Jesus Christ. What we say, how we say it, what we do, how we do it, should be obvious to anyone watching or listening of our submission to God. Why? Well, because God deserves the glory through Jesus Christ. Why? Because of what Jesus has done for us. Why? Well, because the end of all things is at hand. Because the end of all things is at hand, we need to be done with sin. We need to be patient with sinners. We need to be right in our supplication. We need to be loving toward the saints. We need to be active in service. And we must be obvious in our submission to God. These are all ways that you and I can redeem the time. Those around us, they need to know their God. They need to know that they are accountable to Him, and so that they will trust in Him for salvation too, and so that they will redeem their time. Our days are numbered, but we don't know the number. And that is why it's so critical to redeem the time while we have time to redeem. And I'll close with this. This is a passage from the Old Testament, Psalm 90, verses 12 through 17. It says there, "So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands for us." Yes. Establish the work of our hands. Father, we do thank you for this passage. We understand, as the Apostle Peter communicates to us and understood, that the end of all things is at hand. And it is imminent. It is at hand. It could happen at any moment. And we have spent enough of our life wasted in sin. We've wasted enough time already. Lord, help us. Help us now to redeem the time, to love those around us, to be a good reflection of you to all those around us, so that they might trust in you too and redeem their time. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.